Turn with me now to the first book of the New Testament, the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and we'll read verses 5 to 15. This is what Jesus said. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So far the reading. Matthew 6 verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." At various times in our lives, we all face temptations of some sort. It may be something small, like for the little girl who was standing in the bakery looking longingly at one of the small vanilla slices on display. "Now then, young lady," said the baker as he approached her, "what are you up to?" "Nothing," she replied. "Well, it looks to me like you're trying to take one of those slices," the baker said. "No, mister," she said, "I'm trying not to." See, friends, she was being tempted, wasn't she? But temptation might be about something bigger too, the temptation of flirting with your co-worker or the lure of a stolen kiss. That's the problem with temptation. It's a lure to bait us, to reel us in. And it's about this luring, this tempting, that today's text speaks of. But before we delve into our text, let's just have a very brief recap of what we've learned since we started on our journey through the Lord's Prayer in mid-March. We've seen how our prayer lives and our very lives themselves should be focused on God. Jesus has told us that we ought to be focused on glorifying the name of our Abba, our Heavenly Father, on praying for his kingdom to come and actively working towards that. Our prayer should also be for his will to be done in our lives. In fact, we ought to pray for his will to be done in all the earth, as it is already done in heaven. We've also learned that we are to humbly submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father by approaching him and trusting him to provide the necessities of life, our daily bread. And we also saw how, from a spiritual perspective, this daily bread points to our heavenly bread, Jesus, and how he is what we require for eternal life. And then last week we looked at how we are to pray for forgiveness, and especially how to also put that into practice in our daily lives, and how we need to put aside grudges and unforgiving hearts. And now, as our series starts drawing to a close, we come to the petition for God's protection. The petition that asks, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." What does this petition mean? Is this a plea for us to never be tempted? Is it a plea for a life that's just plain sailing all the way? Who is it that is doing the tempting? And what does it mean to ask to be delivered from evil, or from the evil one, as some of our translations put it? I pray that as we delve into this text this morning, the Lord will open it up to us and give us insight and illumine our hearts. We're going to look first at the reality of temptation, then at our inability to properly deal with temptation, and lastly we'll look at our deliverance from the instigator of temptation. The reality of temptation, the inability to properly deal with temptation, and deliverance from the instigator of temptation. Let's look first at the reality of temptation. What does it mean to ask God to not lead us into temptation? Many find this a very difficult petition because it sounds like it is God who is responsible for leading us into temptation. And that's why we have to ask him to stop doing it. But brothers and sisters, friends, let me be clear about this. This is not so. If this were true, the Bible would be contradicting itself. God is most certainly not the prime mover behind temptations. God is not the author of evil. He does not attempt to lure anyone into sin. Listen to what James tells us in this regard. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. There have also been some who say that this petition means that if we as Christians pray this prayer authentically, we will be immune from all temptations. Friends, I have to tell you that this is also not the case. We only have to look at the life of Jesus himself, as well as the lives of the apostles. As Christians, as people of God, we recognize that temptation is an inescapable part of our lives. That's the truth of the matter. You and I, all of us, will face temptation multiple times at various points of our lives. That's the reality of temptation. It will be with us until we breathe out our last breath. But perhaps this makes you ask the question, if we will face temptation in our lives, and if God isn't the instigator of temptation, why are we then praying to God to lead us not into temptation? The key here is to understand that the word that is used for temptation has two meanings. It firstly means to tempt with a goal of causing a person to sin. To be tempted in this way means to be enticed to sin. Secondly, in 20 of the 21 times that this word appears in the New Testament, it means trial or test. And the purpose of this test or trial is to strengthen or prove one's faith. Please note I'm saying proof, not prove. This in a way is the same as talking about a 100-proof gold coin, or perhaps if you're a fan of vodka, 100-proof vodka. To be tested in this sense means to be brought into a difficult circumstance or a position so that your faithfulness will come to the fore and be strengthened in the process. Now, to prevent any misunderstanding, let me just make it clear that, as the Apostle James tells us, God cannot and does not lead anyone to sin. That's against his nature. He does, however, allow his people to be brought into trying times so that their faith can be strengthened and they can grow in their faith. We also need to be clear in our understanding that when it comes to temptations, the instigator is that dark angel called Satan. Peter describes him as a roaring lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. But he's also very shrewd, very devious, and even subtle in setting just the right traps for us. Now, Scripture doesn't describe him like this, but I think he's very much like an expert fly fisherman. You see, friends, fly fishermen can only catch trout by deceiving them, for apparently trout are very clever. So any fly fisherman who is worth his salt will study the current, the weather, and especially the type of insects on which the trout feast. These expert fishermen then make lures of artificial insects. Small hooks are inserted into those artificial insects, and then the fisherman can cast his line. And folks, when the trout bite, those hooks grab hold, and the trout are reeled in until they eventually end up on dry ground, away from the water in which they found life. Now, Satan has had thousands of years of practice in creating just the right type of lure for each one of us. In that sense, he's an expert fly fisherman. He studies us. He knows how to get his hooks into us. He knows how to make his lures so that we find it difficult to recognize its danger. And like that fly fisherman, he casts his line out into the streams of our lives, trying to lure us in, trying to tempt us into taking a bite. To put it this way, he tries to seduce us by preying on our weaknesses. I don't know what that weakness is for you. Perhaps when a client you're working for asks you how much time you've spent on a project, you're tempted to add an hour or two. That's Satan's lure wagging its colorful feathers before you. Perhaps you're starting to feel special because that guy at the office is flirting with you and your hubby hasn't done so for a while. That's Satan casting his lure before you. Beloved, temptation distracts us from the true pleasures to which we are called by the Lord. Temptation entices us. It entices us because it draws us to the fake pleasures of sin by painting them in a false light. Temptation may be appealing, but it is deceptive, just like its deceiving creator. While temptation in itself is not sin, listening to and acting upon its siren call is sinful. And this is why this part of the Lord's Prayer is so important. While the original Greek text can mean, "Do not permit us to be led into temptation," there's a little bit more to it than that, because extra-biblical religious literature tells us that this entering into temptation means submitting to temptation. So looking at the whole picture then, this petition means, do not let us yield to temptation. And keeping that in mind, it means that in this part of the Lord's Prayer, we are firstly coming before God to place ourselves in his hands, asking him and also trusting him to not allow us to come under the control or the authority of those temptations that will overpower us and lead us to sin. We're praying that God will sustain us. We're praying that he will protect us from succumbing to Satan's lures. And we're praying this because in our own strength, we are just not capable of dealing with all of the temptations with which Satan lures us. Let's turn next then to this inability to deal with temptation. During this time of the coronavirus pandemic, and even just in a normal flu season, we often speak of at-risk or vulnerable people. But looking at ourselves from a spiritual perspective, we have to say that we are all at-risk people because we are all sinful. We are at risk because Satan is out there every day casting his lures. Or to put it in a different way, he's out there setting traps for us. And because we are sinful, it's not that easy to withstand the attraction that these temptations can have. Now, although temptation isn't about chocolates or Pringles or a double Whopper and cheeseburger from Hungry Jack's, let me illustrate temptation with the story of a man who decided he needed to lose some weight. His biggest vice was the vanilla slices from the same bakery in which we found our little girl earlier. The bakery was on his way home from work, and he stopped there almost every day. He recognized that those slices were quite the temptation, and to best tackle his problem, he started taking another road home, and it was really going well for him. But one day he absent-mindedly took the old road home. When he realized this, he said to himself, "Well, this must be a sign from the Lord, but just to make sure, I'll just drive past and see if there's an empty parking space in front of the shop. Then I know that it's a sign and it's okay for me to buy a slice." And you know what? The funny thing is that the 10th time he drove around that block, a parking space did open up. Friends, temptation isn't always something huge that grabs you by the scruff of the neck. It's something that grows on you, something that becomes more and more attractive to you. Satan doesn't always come out and say things like, "It's just stupid to go to church." No, he'll say something like, "It's okay not to go today because you've got that netball match and you can always go next week." And that becomes next month, 2 months' time, and 3 months. Slowly, slowly, he reels us in, trying to put a barrier between us and the living water until we also lie on the dry ground like that trout. Satan knows very well how to target our weaknesses, and often he tempts us when we are at our lowest point, or when we're tired, when we've had arguments with our spouses, when our kids have driven us around the bend, when the workload is very heavy, when we're insecure, when we're uncertain of the future, when we are depressed, when we're waiting on those medical results, or when we are alone. And the tempter has a strategy of luring us into his net. For some, it may be the temptation to cut back on our tithes and our offerings first if there's a change in our circumstances. Succumbing to that would delight Satan. In days like we're living in now, the temptation might be to gouge people for products or services because you know they desperately need it. Would the evil one not be smiling from ear to ear if people succumbed to that temptation? For some, the temptation might be of a sexual nature, like we see with David and Bathsheba. For others, it may be about spreading lies or gossip. Succumbing to that would also put a smile on the dial of the devil. And there are, of course, many such temptations to which we can succumb. The expert fly fisherman is the great tempter, but he uses and builds on our own weaknesses and desires. So what are we to do? How do we counter this? How are we to respond when we are tempted? How are we to get deliverance from this great tempter, from the evil one who casts his lures to get his hooks into us? The story is told that when the reformer Martin Luther was asked how he overcame the devil, he responded with something like this: "Every now and then the devil comes knocking at the door of my heart, asking who it is that lives here. That's when the dear Lord Jesus goes to the door and says, 'Martin Luther used to live here, but he has moved out. Now I live here.' And every time the devil sees those nail-scarred hands and his pierced side, he flees immediately." Beloved brothers and sisters, that's the way to get deliverance from the evil one. To have Jesus as the Lord of your heart, as the master of your house. If you are in Christ, if Jesus lives in you, then there's no space for the tempter. Yes, he will come knocking. But if Christ is in you, Satan has to flee. God has not only given us his Son, he's also given us his word to help us in this regard. I cannot think of a better example to follow than that of Jesus when Satan tempted him. What did he do? He went back to Scripture. "It is written," he said. "It is written. It is said." Beloved, whatever temptation may come your way, turn to the Word of God. Psalm 119 tells us, "I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." God's word is the revelation of God's will for us. If you've immersed yourself in God's word, if it has suffused every part of your life, then you will find nourishment there. Some of you may have grown up with the saying, "What would Jesus do?" It has become a bit out of date now, I know, but it's without a doubt a question that each one of us should ask when temptations of any kind come our way. What would Jesus do? How would he have responded if he was here and he had to face what I'm facing? And we get the answer to that in God's word. At the very least, it gives us the principles necessary to deal with a problem or temptation that we face. Let me highlight just three such principles for you. Firstly, cling to that wonderful assurance that Paul gives us when he writes, "God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with a temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." Secondly, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. This means speaking in truth, acting with righteousness, believing in and proclaiming the good news of God's gospel, and trusting in God's word and on what he has done for you. And thirdly, flee from temptations. Like Joseph in the house of Potiphar, flee from it. Remove yourself from the situation. If you're not there, then temptation is out of the way too. Brothers and sisters, friends, this petition isn't a plea that we will never come face to face with temptation. It's not a plea for a life that's plain sailing. No, it's a plea for our merciful Father to be with us and to lead us and to grant us wisdom and strength when we face these temptations. It's a plea to our Abba to abide in us, to be present with us on a daily basis. It's a plea for protection against the spiritual warfare that Satan is waging against us. It's a plea to fulfill that which is promised in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, that we will not be in a position where we will be tempted beyond what we can bear. It's a plea that God will be with us continually. And friends, this petition is also an encouragement to trust in God implicitly. Don't forget who you are. You are a child of God. You've been purchased and redeemed, and you've been liberated from the bonds and chains of slavery. And our Father, our gracious Father, our Abba, is faithful. He will abide with us. Even if all the powers of hell are arrayed against us, we will be delivered. We will be safe in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we all struggle with temptation, and we're all targeted by our age-old enemy. But Lord, you have given us your Son, and we know that if he is in our hearts, then Satan will flee. So we pray that our love for Jesus will fill our hearts and that we will surrender all to him. Strengthen us through your Spirit, Father. Lead us in our daily lives so that we can walk in the way that you want us to. And when the temptations do come our way, Lord, let us not be overwhelmed, but strengthen us and deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.